hello, sons, and hello, brothers. I'm Ken Pierpont, and this is Stuff I Want to Say. Most of the Men are podcast for men. It's a beautiful winter day out here on Bittersweet Farm. Friday is my study day. I probably mentioned that to you before. And I like to get going early, sometimes in the wee hours of the morning, and jump on that study for my message for Sunday, which usually is kind of in my mind throughout the week whenever I get a bit. But when I get to Friday, it's down and dirty. It's serious on Friday. But the other thing I like to do is I like to get this podcast done. So I usually work between the two of those things and put the podcast in for a little break in my thinking. And we got snow on the ground out here today, which is beautiful. If you look out, I'm in the second level of the old 120-year-old farmhouse. Today is year six. I believe it was exactly 6 years ago today that Lois and I purchased Bittersweet Farm. We sold our house in the Detroit area, which was a very simple ranch-style home, and a lot like all the other ranch-style homes sitting around it, in a subdivision near the Detroit River in the Downriver. We bought Riverview, and we bought Bittersweet Farm. It was 6 years ago today. We drove out here very much a day, very much like today. The sun is shining right now, and the ground is snow-covered, and it's cold. It's in the teens, and that's actually warmed up a bit from where it's been. But I'm on the second level, and there are windows all around. I can look out to the back, out over the north, what I call the north meadow and the north pasture, the near north field, and then the far north field beyond a tree line. You can see out into that. You can see west of us out over the place where we have a neighbor who grooms deer to shoot once a year. Anyway, you look out over his place, and it's all snow-covered. And then you can look south out the window. The window I sit near here in the corner where I get really most of my work, most of my writing, and most of my podcast done is in the south and east corner of the farmhouse in the upstairs. And it looks out over to the south over a woods, which drapes over a hill south of us. It's beautiful, beautiful, and quiet and very peaceful, characterized by peace. I thank the Lord so much for that. Now, we're in a teaching. We're in a series of podcasts now, which I call the big umbrella name for it is the Grandmaster Key to the Universe. How's that for a pretentious title? The Grandmaster Key to the Universe. I want to teach you, men. I want to show you in Scripture what the Bible says is the most important theological truth in the Bible, which we talked about last week on the podcast. And then today about what is actually what I like to call the Grandmaster Key to the Universe. Only God knows what will happen when a person begins to think deeply and faithfully and regularly about God's love for them. Don't overlook that. Sincerely, how you feel, what do you believe about how God feels about you? When God's love dawns on a man, it changes his life forever. Only God knows what will happen when you have a fresh revelation of God's love for you. So this takes me back over the years to the first time that we went to North Manitou Island. At that time, Dan and Wes were small boys and didn't make the cut. Kyle and Chuck were teens. I believe Kyle was graduating from high school, and that would have put Chuck at about 15, I suppose. And we went with a guy named Mike Otis, and Mike had been on North Manitou before. He was young, he was strong, he still seems young and strong. And Mike was our guide on North Manitou Island. After that trip, he was therefore forever after dubbed trail name Manitou Mike. And later he would take Kyle and Chuck on a section hike of the Appalachian Trail with Bill Newman, the circuit rider guy. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit about Bill Newman in a minute, but Mike was hiking with us on North Manitou Island in July of maybe the year 2001. And we were hiking after 3 days on the island. The third day, we were taking a long hike along the back side of the island, then up across the south end of the island. And while we were walking, we were telling each other stories. And Mike told me a story that I've never forgotten. He said he was in East Grand Rapids, Michigan, where he grew up, and he was a kid, just a boy, maybe 10 or 12 years old. And he was walking down the street, and he said this hippie girl hiked out of the woods. He said she just came out of nowhere, hiked out of the woods, and was walking right toward him. And he looked at this hippie girl, and she looked at him. Her eyes met his eyes, and she broke into a big smile. And she looked him right in the eyes, and she said, "God loves you. Jesus loves you." That's what she said. "Jesus loves you." And then she didn't even break stride. She just kept walking. And Mike said he stopped and watched her walk away and just couldn't get out of his mind that three-word phrase that she gave to him. "Jesus loves you. I tell you, only God knows what will happen when a man has a fresh revelation of God's love for him." And that's why, gentlemen, last week we talked about Romans 8 and meditating on Romans 8 about the Gospel of John, the epistles of John. And then we talked about Ephesians chapter 3. And this just passages that describe the love of God for us. And there's something that happens. It's the most important truth in the Bible is God, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. This is it, vital that you remember the love of God. What's the most important truth in the Bible? God loves you. Now, how do we know? Because the Bible says so. And because God sent his son, Jesus, to die. And this brings us now to the grand master key to the universe. Years ago, I was invited by a Christian ministry to be the director of a ministry that was housed in a 16-story hotel, a 500-room hotel in downtown Flint, Michigan. I think it used to be the Radisson. And the building was a grand building with huge meeting halls and restaurants and a swimming pool area and a big fish pond in the lobby and a big three-story mezzanine level and just a huge $40 million building that was built in downtown Flint when the automobile industry began to decline. In Flint, they did this to kind of create a tourist attraction, and it was called Auto World, and the thing never worked, so the building was always underutilized. It was never really full, and in order to pay the bills on a building like that, you have to have like 80% occupancy almost all the time, just because those huge buildings just hemorrhage money. And so the building then was sold as a distressed property, even though it was a beautiful building. It was purchased by a doctor. I believe it was the doctor that developed the MRI machine. Doctor from Texas purchased the building and donated it to a Christian ministry. And then the head of the Christian ministry recruited me to run it. And so for 5 years, that's what the Pierpont family did. We went to this huge hotel, this 500-room hotel in downtown Flint. And the whole family has really pretty good memories of the experience. But they had a machine. And the machine would key these cards, these key cards. And there was a setting on the machine that you could make a key for each room. And there was a setting, though, that you could make what was called the Grand Master Key. You could make a key that literally would open any door in the entire hotel. And as the director of the hotel, as the I had that privilege, I had that power to make the Grand Master Key. What if I told you that the scriptures teach that there is a grand master key to the universe? And what if I told you that Jesus himself was in, they inquired with Jesus, and Jesus himself taught that there is a key that opens all the doors in the universe, a grand master key to the universe, is found in Mark chapter 12. In verse 28, one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he said, which commandment is the most important of all? Here it comes. Which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. It is as if he said, was saying, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the grand master key to the universe. It is as if someone said, and how would we do that? And he would say, by loving your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment is love God with all your heart. What's the most important truth in the universe? I hope you can answer that question based on the scripture. Jesus loves me. So what's the greatest commandment? We love him back. I'll give you an illustration of this. It's found in the, there are many illustrations of this in scripture, but one is found in the ministry of Christ, and it's found in the Gospel of Luke, and it's found in chapter 7. Let me just read it to you. Luke, this is Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Luke 7, 36. It's a story that's told of Jesus. It's a true story. It's not a parable. This is an incident that happened. And it says, one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with them. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointments. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering, in other words, Jesus answering his thoughts, said, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say it, teacher. Jesus said, a certain money lender had two debtors. So Jesus is going to tell him a story. A certain money lender had two debtors, one who owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? So he said he forgave one man a small debt and he forgave another man a huge debt. Simon answers the one. And then he said, who's going to love him more? After he forgave the debt of both, Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Did you track with that? She was forgiven much, so she loved much. Just like the little story Jesus told. She was forgiven much, so what did she do? She loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little is as if Jesus was saying, since you really don't consider yourself a sinner, and you don't need any forgiveness. That's why you don't love me. That's why you haven't shown any love to me. And then he turned to her, he said, after he said, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he was forgiven little, loves little. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. And then those who are at the table with him began saying among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, there you have a beautiful story, incident in the life of Jesus that teaches us something that really illustrates this greatest commandment, this grand master key to the universe, that the key to everything is our love for God, is our affection for God. Gentlemen, brothers, sons, friends, nephews, parishioner guys, whatever brought us together, can I look you in the eye and can I tell you the most important thing in the world is that you never lose your grip on the fact that God loves you and that everything you do is just a way of loving him back. We avoid sin, we love him back. We read our Bible, we're loving him back. We witness, we're loving him back. We love our loved ones, we're loving him back. We're loving God. That's the grand master key to everything. And so when we have a consciousness of great sin and great forgiveness because of sin, then we have a deep sense of love for God. So the most important truth of the Bible is what? God loves you. And the grand master key of life is what? Love him back. So you get up in the morning and you say, Lord, I know you love me today. I just want to love you back. And whatever it is you do to love God. Whatever it is you say should be an expression of love for God. Whatever you give should be an expression of God, of love for God. When I was a boy, I got on a school bus in a little village called Logansville, Ohio, on Route 47. I think it was west of Bell Fountain, Ohio. We would go, I think it was south, to DeGraff, a little town called DeGraff where the elementary school was. Anyway, I got on the bus one day, and all the kids were looking at something. And they were all kind of, their heads were down, and they were just like, and we all looked, and he'd gotten a little toy for Christmas, and it was a plastic 8-ball. It was called a magic 8-ball. Have you seen these? You shake it, and it has a little dice or triangle kind of dice in it that has answers, and when you shake it, you ask it a question, and then you let the dice float up into the window, and it's like, you know, will Betty Lou love me? And then it floats up and says, no, it's the magic 8-ball. Sometimes I'm afraid that we have an attitude about God. We just kind of treat him like a magic 8-ball. We want him to arrange things for us in the future, or we want him to let us know what's going to happen. We don't really want to have a love relationship with him. And maybe we think, you know, we want him to be good to us because he's powerful. We want him not to punish us because we're afraid. But we don't realize he loves us and love him back. And that's not what characterizes our life, that affectional love for God. I think about it like this. You're a dad, probably some of your dads. And when our kids were little, I remember one time Lewis and I wanted to take them to Kings Island, kind of like Cedar Point, wanted to take them to Kings Island. But that was going to be expensive. It was expensive just to drive there with the car, but then there was the expense of eating out, and there's the expense of getting into the park, and there's the incredible expense of buying anything to eat in the park, and then there were other things that were added on. So it was a real and there was a large family, so it became quite an expensive thing, but we'd saved up our money, and we scrimped and saved and scraped things together, and we put stuff in a cooler, and we drove to Kings Island, and I still have a picture of this. I love that picture. I'm standing there. The picture's taken of me and the kids kind of standing there in a cluster, and we had just paid our way in. We had just gone through, and I had just taken my little wad of cash. I'd shelled off most of the money to buy the tickets to get our family in. And then as I was folding up the remaining bills, and I remember what was on my mind, I remember thinking, how much do I have enough, you know, to get gas on the way home and also to buy the kids a treat like a Coke, which is incredibly expensive in the park. And Lois took a picture, and I still have it. I have, the kids are kind of serious, and my brow is furrowed, and I'm folding that money back up. and putting it in my pocket. And I'm glad Lois caught it that way, that candid way, instead of just having us look up and smile, because it reminds me of exactly how I felt that day. But I had taken all that money to pay the kids' way into the park and my way and Lois's way so that we could all be together and that we could create a happy memory of just being somewhere really beautiful and fun and doing fun things all day long and just being kind and loving to one another. And I've often thought about a day like that and imagine what it would be like for what would happen if you're the dad and you pay your kid's way into a park like that. And as soon as they get their way paid in, they say, "Hey, what time are we going to meet to go home?" And you say, "What? Like, what time, you know, what time should we, what time, how long do we have? What time are we going to meet to go home?" As if what they're going to do is they're going to run off on their own and spend the whole day on their own. And then they're going to meet you for the ride. All you basically are is the guy who paid their way in and the guy who arranged their ride there and back. And they don't have, you had in mind, you were going to watch them go from ride to ride. You were going to listen to their laughter. You were going to watch their eyes light up with joy. You were going to buy them treats when they got hungry, something to drink when they got thirsty. You were going to take pictures and you were going to be with them and love them. And I want to tell you that God the Father doesn't want to be treated like a magic eight ball or your ride to King's Island. He wants to watch your face. He wants to know your heart. He wants to be with you and love you. And he wants to have communion with you. And this is something that we all long for humanly. If we're healthy, this is something we long for humanly. But God never designed any human being or anything on earth to be able to satisfy the longing that we have for God and the love that we long for from God. And so here's what we're, gentlemen, this is how we're wired. This is how God made us. God made us to receive love from God and love him back. And he made us, he designed us so that our love for other people, did you catch that? The second part of the grandmaster key of the universe is love your neighbor as yourself. You say to God, "God, how can I love you?" And he goes, "Love your neighbor." So when we make our neighbor the object of our love altogether, he can't do that. He can't be God to us. He can't love us like God loves us. And we shouldn't give him the love that belongs to God. But when we love God by loving our neighbor, when we love God by loving our children, when we then things are, our loves are ordered, if you will. Things are orderly. And they are as they should be. And so at that, then what happens is beautiful things begin to grow in our life. I was teaching this very same material, the same teaching that I had taught, and a fellow heard it, and he invited me out to Canada, all the way out to, his name was Jared Mosier, and just a wonderful young man. He invited me out to Canada, and he got a lot of his friends there. He flew me out there. And to hike around in the Banff Provincial Park, the Canadian Rockies, and to teach these very things. And I still have a picture of myself standing on a shelf of earth. And behind me is a place called Lake Louise and a huge mountain up behind that. It's just one of the most beautiful places I've ever been on earth. And he was a photographer, so he got a neat picture of that, which I will always cherish. But I remember that one of the places that he took us was a place called Johnson Canyon. And we hiked up along the river that cut down through the mountain, through the canyon, up to the top, to a shelf where I would stand and teach the young people that were with us. And I did that little teaching. And then we started back down. And I noticed as we walked along this rocky way back down to the bottom of the mountain, to the base of the mountain, beside us was this raging river that was just charging off the mountain and down over the rocks along beside the walkway there. And I noticed that the water color was a different kind of green than I had ever seen before, just a beautiful green kind of color to the water. And I said to Jared, "Why is that color?" And he said, "That's that water," he said, "that's coming from a glacier melt. And so over the winter, the snow falls and it's held in a glacier. Then as the spring thaw comes, it melts and it pulls all the nutrients, and it gives the water that green color and pulls that down through this beautiful mountain, stream flows down into the valley and then waters everything in the valley. And the scriptures teach that the studying the truth of the Bible is like snow on the mountain. When we learn what the Bible teaches us about who God is and about how to have a relationship with God, how to love God and how to let God love us, how to experience the love of God, it's like water from the glacier running down into the valley, and it makes things grow. It makes our life work the way it's supposed to work. And so that's why it's so important to learn these biblical truths and where to find them. And so this is my little informal quiz. What's the most important truth in the Bible? I should hear you saying right now, Jesus loves me, this I know. I would like to say, where does it say that in the Bible? You should be able to tell me two or three places where the Bible says that. And then I would ask you, what's the grand master key to life? And then you should say, love him back. The most important theological truth in the Bible is that God loves you. And what's your greatest responsibility is the grand master key to life. Love him back is the key to everything. And you should be able to tell me where the Bible says that. And the illustration said, where does the Bible say that? And hint, hint, Mark 12 is what I read. And then Luke chapter 7 was the illustration that I gave you. And the next time that we meet, we're going to answer another important question. And that is, what's the worst thing that can ever happen to a person? If the most important truth in the Bible is that God loves you, and if the grand master key to the universe is love him back, then let me ask you, what's the worst thing that could ever happen to a person? And next week, I'm going to tell you a story that I don't like to tell. It's a very, very sad story. But it really is an illustration of what happens of the worst thing that can ever happen to a person. And we'll talk about that next week. And I think it'll be a powerful and very useful caution, men. And you know, I want to encourage you. I want to inspire you. I suppose I want to entertain you a little bit. But more than anything, I'd like to see your life transformed. And for you to put into application, and now, because time is short, I'm going to put immediately into application these truths in your family, with your wife and with your children. A man can't do anything more important than think about how much God loves him, and then to love God back and to see everything he does as a way, primarily as a way of loving God. Everything you do should be done through that grid, should be seen that way. Everything you do should be done out of love for God. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these men that are listening to the podcast today. I pray that it would be helpful for them to just think through these deep, simple yet deep truths of Scripture, that our lives work best when we bask in the sunshine of God's love like a puppy curled up where the sun is on the porch. And then when we get up, we wake up and we spend our day loving you by doing the things that we do as expressions of love for God. And out of a sense of great love and thanksgiving to God, help us to see you, God, the way you really are, holy and yet with great mercy and loving kindness that you're eager to pour out upon us. And that you arrange to do that through your Son, our Savior, Jesus. So help the men, even as they listen to this, that as they turn it off and as they go about doing what they are going to do today, that this would be like a lingering fragrance around them, in Jesus' name. Till next time, gents.